You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of the It's Always Draft Season podcast, part of the Packernet Podcast Network, and a podcast that stands Eric DaCosta all day and every day. Jake Savink here. Mason Thompson, how you doing on this fine Wednesday evening as we are now about to go through draft grades?
Doing really well. I'm excited to get in, kind of just jump into these a little bit more in depth. So,
yeah, so tonight what we're going to do, and we'll have about four episodes out, is how we're going to take this on, is we're going to go the south, the east, the north, and the west in some order. We're going south tonight. We're doing the AFC South and the NFC South, flip the order, and that's where we're going. And so we're going to give out our grades, and we're going to go way more in depth than we did on the show that came out this past Monday, which kind of was all encompassing of the weekends. But we're going to really dive in, talk about all these guys, and then give our grades at the end. So we're going to start, obviously, in the NFC South here with the Atlanta Falcons. That's who we'll start with, and we'll kind of rattle off their picks here, and then I'm going to throw it to Mason to give his initial thoughts. So Falcons at pick 8, they go Drake London, wide receiver USC. Second round pick 38, they go Arnold Ebukadi, edge rusher from Penn State. And then the 58th pick, Troy Anderson, linebacker from Montana State. 74th pick, they got Desmond Ridder, quarterback from Cincinnati. 82nd, they go D'Angelo Malone, edge rusher from Western Kentucky. 151st, Tyler Allgeier, running back from BYU. 190, they went Justin Schaefer, the guard from Georgia. And then they went right back to Georgia, pick 213, John Fitzpatrick, the tight end. So, Mason, just initial thoughts, really, as we kind of keep, we're going to dive deep, but go for it with your thoughts on the Falcons class.
So, it was kind of like both of us kind of were not on the Drake London train as much as a lot of other people were. I think he's kind of in the middle.
He's my wide receiver too.
We were, no, well, fair enough.
So maybe me a little bit more than you, but yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of on the low side at first, and then I kind of watched a little bit more. I was okay with it. Personally, I would not have taken him at 8. I would have probably taken a defender of some sort, maybe a Kyle Hamilton, but that didn't happen. They ended up taking Drake London. Obviously, you need any sort of weapons for whoever your quarterback is going to be. So I guess Drake London is fine. You're building a basketball team with him and Kyle Pitts. Sure. Getting Ebukadi and D'Angelo Malone was kind of a really good duo that they can pair up with. Completely blanking on the guy's name right now. Lorenzo Carter. Lorenzo Carter. It's not like overwhelming as a pass rush, but getting the Penn State pass rusher and Ebukadi at 38 was a steal, in my opinion. Malone was also kind of a steal as well at 82 for me a little bit. You were both kind of higher on him than consensus. A lot of guys had him like fifth round. So getting him in the third round, that was kind of our range a little bit, was really good. Obviously, I was a big Troy Anderson guy. Honestly, I didn't think that Atlanta would be the team to take him, but it makes a lot more sense looking at it as you see that they still have Deion Jones, but they got rid of, they let Foye walk. They brought in Rayshon Evans. They still have Michael Walker, who is a little bit similar to Deion Jones. But I think it could be a battle between Evans and Troy Anderson for that other starting spot opposite of Deion Jones. Obviously, you have to talk about Desmond Ridder at pick 74. A lot of people had him going in the first round, potentially Atlanta jumping back into the first to get him. But getting him at that spot was outstanding. We talked about it a little bit, that Atlanta is like the perfect landing spot for Ridder. You have a guy that is so similar to Marcus Mariota. It's like a perfect kind of system for him to run in. And he may get some starting snaps a lot sooner than a lot of people expect. I think that Allgeier is going to get surprised some people. If I am correct, they released Mike Davis 2 days ago or yesterday as of this recording.
Yes.
I think overall it was a really good draft. I think I messaged you on Friday night being like, the Falcons have pulled me back in a little bit here.
You did say that. Yes. So
At the end, John Fitzpatrick is just kind of a blocking tight end. I didn't really think they needed one, but sure, go for it. They took the wrong Georgia offensive lineman at the time, but it is what it is. But other than that, I thought this was a pretty good draft.
Yeah, I think the first thing that obviously I think jumps out, like you mentioned, it's got to be the two edge rushers. They've needed this. Like this is they've needed to get pressure off the edge. The Vic Beasley season was like a mirage. They got him to get 15 sacks. Great. Other than that, since like Abraham was like good at the start of the time, like they have had nothing. And to get after the quarterback, they're going to be able to do it with Ebukadie and with Malone. They're going to let these guys pin their ears back, and they're going to get after the quarterback with speed, with the twitch they have. I love that pairing. I think what saved it the most was they still threw a pick at offensive line. I know it was – we both think the wrong Georgia guard to throw it to. Honestly, like Schaefer's pretty good. Snatched some dudes with good power, good hands down in mobile. He's not going to be the most mobile player, right? So that in Arthur Smith's scheme, that's a little puzzling, but – overall, like I do think they're playing the basketball team route. They have Pitts and they have London. I love that idea for them. You give a guy in Ritter who you think is going to start at some point, two guys who could kind of make plays outside the frame with some of the errant throws that you might see from Ritter early on, just because it's like mechanically related, those accuracy issues. But I mean, to not have to reach and read the room more at quarterback and be like, okay, third round, sure, we'll take one of the two. Did they take the right one? Depends on who you ask. Because they took Ritter before the Titans took Willis, who we'll get to later. But yeah, I mean, overall, like, again, Allgeier, is he the most dynamic player? No, this is your, you know, early down, give me three or four. Third and one, third and two, get me a first. Like, that's fine. Like, that's totally okay. You have Patterson back to do a whole lot of things with as a running back wide receiver hybrid. Do I think they threw enough at receiver? No, definitely not. I think they could have thrown two picks there. But again, you get a guy in London who goes top 10. That's fine. So overall, yeah, I'm good. Like you said, Fitzpatrick was meh. But like, you have Pitts. You're probably going to move him all around. If you want to attach another guy to the line, maybe Fitzpatrick's your guy early on. That's, I'm totally good with that too. So yeah, I mean, overall, I was impressed with what Atlanta did. I think a lot of people were not impressed last year when Fontenot had the first draft. They were kind of like, okay, this was not great at all. You know, Richie Grant and all. So I think Fontenot redeemed himself with this draft in 2022. So Mason, do you have a grade for these guys?
My final grade was B+.
Okay, same. So we were exactly the same on this one, B+. I think the only thing, I don't know if you want to comment on this, that kept it from an A for me is, again, I think I would have added another receiver at some point, and I would have probably touched on offensive line a little bit more.
Yeah.
I understand you want a bruising running back. I don't think you needed to take Allgeier. I know Zamir White and Robinson and all these guys were coming off the board. I don't think you needed to force that issue completely. At 151, it was a deeper interior line class. If you believe in McGarry, great. I mean, there's just guys later. I feel like, did Kennedy Brooks get drafted?
Kennedy Brooks?
Yeah.
Did he get drafted? I don't think so, no.
No, like that's even another just an early down guy you can throw out there. Like so tweak that a little bit early on that. But like, other than that, like, so happy they got edge rusher help. I'm just glad they threw a pick at offensive line. And like you said, Troy Anderson, it's a multi-year project potentially, but like, oh boy, athleticism. So is that what kept it from you for an A, or just it didn't was like more, London, or
I gave the London pick like a B-.
Okay.
Just because, but it was more of just, I felt like they could have done better on the offensive line, like we've talked about, and maybe thrown a dart at like a safety, because I guess they just don't want to play Richie Grant, which is beyond me.
But yeah, they've got to have some up their sleeve forever, no?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
He was really fun to watch last year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, you took him in the second round. Like, this should be – your two should be, like, snaps on snaps on snaps to, like, get this guy out there. So I think the defense is in a good spot. Would a better running mate for Grady Jarrett have made sense? Sure. But they just extended him.
Yes.
So you have him in house. I know we're not supposed to look ahead, but like, listen, you're probably going to be top five next year. Jalen Carter, Brian Bruzzi, Will Anderson are probably going to, someone's going to be in playoff there. So could make maybe a move for somebody like that. But yeah, I mean, I think they did good. So we'll move on now and we'll go to the Carolina Panthers. And so this is a team that came in, right? One pick in the top 130. And a lot of people were waiting as, okay, would this be the first team that kind of sets the QB market in this draft? And they didn't do it. So to roll through their selections quick here, sixth overall, they go Ikem Ekwonu, not a quarterback, believe it or not. They trade up from 137 to get Matt Corral at 94. They take Brandon Smith at 120, Amari Barno at 189. Or no.
Yeah, 189.
Okay. I must have got the Cade Mays one wrong then. Do you have the number up for that?
199.
Okay, that's why I wrote it wrong. So yeah, 189 Amari Barno, 199 Cade Mays, and 242 they took Kalon Barnes. So Mason, initial thoughts on this Panthers class.
I mean, I think they should have either traded down or taken the offensive lineman at six. So I can't really fault them too much. Personally, I would have taken Evan Neal, but it makes sense because they took the more bruising style run blocker for Christian McCaffrey. If he can stay healthy, that is. The trade up for Corral is just, you kind of needed somebody to kind of compete with Sam Darnold because it doesn't seem like they're really interested in Baker Mayfield and none of the players really are. And it seems like every one of those parties is not interested in coming together. Brandon Smith selection, I was not really a big fan on Brandon Smith, but that was like when he was getting second round buzz. So I get it in the fourth round. Their linebacking court really took a hit since I last looked at it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like you have Shaq Thompson, but is he still the same player he once was? Probably not. You've got Damian Wilson and Corey Littleton who flamed out in Las Vegas. So could Brandon Smith be battling for starting snaps? Yeah. You're betting on athleticism with him. He's not really a football player. It's more athleticism at this point. I think you, honestly, in my opinion, getting Amari Barno at 189 is a good selection. Just the traits, traits, traits. And then pairing that with Cade Mays 10 picks later, who can help you along the offensive line. Those two are really good. And then you take a dart throw on Kalon Barnes, who again, traits, 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 speed. Like I think you ended off those last three selections were good. But it just really depends on your thoughts of trading up for a quarterback. I think if there were a quarterback that fits the system really well, you could have taken Corral or Sam Howell at that spot since Ritter was obviously gone, just to be the kind of option, read option kind of offense, that spread style. So I think they did good there. It fits with what they want to do with Christian McCaffrey and everything. But just imagine if the offensive coordinator you fired for no reason was still here. That's just pretty much my opinions on it. I think it was solid for what they had, but
yeah, I think you have to, and that's the tough thing is like, it's everybody's kind of like seeing the Sam Darnold trade kind of weigh on this class a little bit. And so like, it's hard to not be like, well, you know, you'd have more swings if it weren't for trading for Darnold and just really like really lay it on them for that. I'm not going to do that. Try to keep it separate from that trade. Unfortunately, you come in here with what you had, Carolina. I thought they did well. And my grade will reflect that. But yeah, I mean, Ekwonu or Neal, whatever. That's fine. They were my third and fourth overall prospects. Pick whichever that they went with, like Mason said, the more physical, get linear, down block, all that stuff, you know, good athleticism, space player. I'm good with that. I'm actually okay with moving up for a quarterback because honestly, I don't think the solution's on the roster. So if they made a move and they felt like they had to because of whatever they believe was going to happen early in the fourth round, if somebody was going to move up for Corral, like if Seattle had a chance and they were going to do that, I love the idea. And yeah, I agree. I think, again, you addressed both sides of the trenches late as well. It would have been nice. Yeah, like you said, I mean, Brandon Smith, it's day three swing.
Yeah.
It's swing on day three. I'm good with it. And like Barnes, who knows? I mean, Duke can turn and run with anybody. There's no doubt about that. Refine the technique. I think Cade Mays and Ekwonu both start this year, which I'm good with, honestly. Yeah. They're powerful, bruising dudes up front. If you're going to run the ball a lot, that's the reason you fired Joe Brayden. You want to run the ball more. Okay. I love the process, actually, with that. Barno at like whatever, he's like really undersized too, but he ran the 4.36, so like the 10 splits nuts, like everything, like sure. So I'm good with the class considering what they had to work with.
Yep.
Now it's hard not, like I said, it's hard not to just absolutely rip this front office a new one for thinking a two and extra was going to be, you know, this is going to be Sam Darnold's resurrection. But apart from that, the class itself I liked.
Here's a question, and this is highly debated. It was last year. I think it's still slightly debated, but if you get an offensive line in front of Sam Darnold, what are your thoughts there?
I think you're still going to get those 4 or 5 throws a game, which is not great, of throws that you're going to be putting your hand over your head, and you'll be like, man, Wentz gave this guy something. And he, like, this is a Carson Wentz WTF interception of the week guy, like a plus two. So, like, I get it with the offensive line. Like, I think Brady's system was working for the first few weeks, which is, but then we got rid of him. So, what you're going to do with Corral, I don't know. Like, we'll see. The on-field of how they apply this class is going to be interesting.
I'm intrigued to see what they do, especially because of who their offensive coordinator is.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, they've got pieces in place, like on offense. This should be I'm excited for Tommy Tremble year two, no doubt about it. Like, they have receivers, right? They still have McCaffrey. So, sounds good. And again, the coaching staff and general met, they extended their window because they got Matt Corral, right? So overall, like, even for somebody who I don't like Barno that much, I'm fine with the swing. So yes, that the process is good there. Like, the process on day three was good by me. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe Darnold beats Corral out and the grade that I put will probably be dropped because of that in a couple of years. We'll see, but.
Are we saying grades?
Yeah. What's your grade for Carolina?
I went another B plus. Yeah.
Yeah. So did I, actually, funny enough. oh wait, no, I'm sorry. I did a B. No, I'm not. And I'm not, for those listening, I'm not trying to be different here. I did switch them with another team. Yeah. So I gave them a B, but yeah, all things considered, good job, Carolina. Didn't think I'd be saying that going in because I thought Pickett was going to be the pick at six, but hey, good job. So a nice little golf clap for Carolina, I think, for both of us. All right. New Orleans Saints. So New Orleans Saints here next on the list for us. So at pick 11, they traded up, went with Chris Olave, stuck at 19, took Trevor Penning. 49, they grabbed Delonte Taylor, cornerback from Tennessee. 161, they took DeMarco Jackson, the linebacker from App State. And then 194, they took defensive lineman Jordan Jackson from Air Force. Mason, initial thoughts on the Saints and what they did in this draft.
So I want to start this with the pre-draft trade. Because,
there is that. Yes.
That was confusing.
Yep.
I mean, I get it because you had three major needs. And did you fill those first two? Yes. Sure. Would I have traded up as much as I did for Chris, as much as they did for Chris Olave? Probably not. Don't get me wrong. I like Chris Olave as a player, but giving what was it, a first, a third, and a fifth?
I think they gave him 98 and 120.
So a first, third, and fourth to move up. What was it? Five spots?
Yeah.
Six? Again, don't get me wrong. Chris Olave is a great player. But moving up five spots to get that much, to give away that much capital is not great for a team that, yes, they do have fireworks on that team, obviously, but you still need some pieces added in at a lot of those spots. And sure, you added in another player this morning or yesterday in Tyrann Mathieu, which does feel a need. We talked about them potentially adding a safety in round one, and they didn't. They didn't in the whole entire draft. So they filled that need, which is good. But back to the draft, you didn't really have a choice. You just kind of had to stick with your second choice in Trevor Penning. You had a gaping hole at left tackle, and I don't know if he's really ready right away to start at left tackle, especially in New Orleans. I don't know how much they're going to keep a lot of the same verbiage, and like the play calls in New Orleans when Sean Payton were there was like super long. And I don't know if he's going to get all that, if that still is even like the case. I don't know. Is Pete Carmichael still the OC?
Right? That's a great, I think so. I'll check. But like, I mean, yeah, it is. It is. It still is.
So, like, that's a little bit concerning to me because he still has a lot of room to grow, and he wasn't really a first-round prospect for a lot of us. And, like, Alante Taylor in the second round, I don't know about you, but, like, whoa. The only, like, pick that I felt was good, and, like, I like the Olave pick, but you gave up so much, was, like, DeMarco Jackson's a fine pick in the fifth round. But then, like, Jordan Jackson, there was a lot of other players available that you could have taken. It was weird. And I get that New Orleans is typically a team that swings for the fences, but I felt like this was a bit scary as like a person from the outside. You still have a lot of needs that you'd like to take on the roster. There's like, I would have liked a bigger class, but you only had five players. So I don't really know.
Yeah. This is the classic case of process is fine here. I'm okay with process for some of it, but not okay with player. Other than the first selection they made, which was good player, bad process.
Yes.
So there was nothing here where I go, oh yeah, that's a good player and that's a good process. There was none of that. So yeah, my issue is giving up 98 and 120 for Olave. Like I know we probably would have sat here and eviscerated Dotson at 16 as well if that was their selection, I think, as well. Like, but man, I don't know. This left a lot to be desired. And yeah. I get it. Like, this is why I said most of these have one of the two good things next to it. Like I said, Olave was good player, bad process. Penning's good process. It's a bad player though. And you like, we're going to talk about them. The Chargers decided like what we thought, the tackle class was bad. So they didn't take one. Right. So I don't know, man. It's a struggle. This Saints group. So I don't know what the idea was here for them. Like, I'm left scratching my head. I didn't even like either Jackson selection late. So, and like you said, Alante Taylor, like, oh boy. If you are ever going to move up, the time to move up was from 49 as you're watching Jaquan Brisker fall. That would have been process player for me. Let's roll. But it didn't happen. So they took a guy who they're going to try to convert to safety, who can, I guess, probably do it. But how long is that going to take? You have an immediate need. Well, they bring in Tyrann Mathieu, right? So, which we can't attach to this. So you've now decided, okay, where's he playing? Playing my corner? You really didn't need to do that. So, I don't know, man. This class leaves a lot to be desired, in my opinion. So. I don't know.
I want to hear yours because I think this is going to be worse than mine.
Worse than yours? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a C for me.
Ooh. Never mind. I gave it a D plus.
You gave it a D plus. Okay.
Yeah.
Olave is literally the saving grace of this thing.
Yes.
And like I said, they did like good and there will be bad process, bad player later. But like this is a C and clearly so. Like Olave's like good.
Yeah.
So if the thing is, if they bet on traits with Penning is fine, but he's just not like you have an immediate need at the position. So that's my issue. With that. So okay. Moving on. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's up?
Are we gonna do anything about that or
we can? Well, I've got it covered. But
okay. Because is it gonna end or
it I think, but I thought we
could. I just don't know if we're gonna spend a lot of time on Tampa Bay is my thing.
Well.
I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, I know. It's never done it before. I'm not sure.
If you just want to end it and start again, we could maybe just do the commercial there, which would not make sense, but still.
Yeah, I just don't know. Are we going to? It might do it again, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll end it then. And then.
Yeah.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Record.
All right, back here with the It's Always Draft Season podcast after a little hiccup. Going to continue here with the NFC South and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So what they did, they moved back out of the first round to start with. And 33, select Logan Hall, defensive lineman out of Houston. Stay at 57, grab Luke Gadecki, the offensive lineman for Central Michigan. 91, they get Rashad White, the running back from Arizona State. 106, go Cade Otton, tight end from Washington. 133, they take Jake Camarda, the punter from Georgia. 157, Zion McCollum, corner from Sam Houston State. 218, get Cole Kieft, tight end from Minnesota, and they finish up at 248 with Andre Anthony, defensive end from LSU. So, Mason, initial thoughts on the Buccaneers and the class that they have.
There's a familiar saying that, like, good teams stay good in the draft. And I think that's pretty much descriptive of what happened with Tampa Bay here. They traded down, got the guy they probably would have taken at 27, got some extra draft capital, and took Logan Hall. That kind of points to me that it doesn't seem like Ndamukong Suh is going to be back most likely because he can play inside outside on the interior end as an edge rusher. The last 2 days of picks, I could spend all day talking about Gadecki because he was a D3 guy at first and then transferred to Central Michigan. I think that's an excellent move. He'll probably start at one of the guard spots for them potentially. I think there'll be an open competition there, but getting Rashad White as like a complimentary piece to Leonard Fournette, who they re-signed, is a good move. I know that Ronald Jones moved on to Kansas City in free agency. And getting two tight ends, well, three with plus the guy they added in undrafted free agency, but Cade Otton, great move in my opinion, because you still haven't re-signed Gronkowski. Is that going to happen as he retired? Nobody really knows until probably the preseason starts because he didn't want to do extra practices. But I think that was a good move to start fourth. Obviously, get a punter, which, sure. Zion McCollum falling into the fifth round. Don't know how. I'm just going to say that right now. You get a 10 out of 10, pure athleticism guy. Is there some hiccups in technique and his coverage skills? Yeah, probably. But in the fifth round, I obviously going to take a chance on that. You get a blocking tight end from Minnesota, and then you got Andre Anthony, who really couldn't really do much at LSU. I know there's a lot of players in college that kind of flame out. They do better in the NFL. Maybe that's him. But I want to make note, they did sign Wisconsin River Falls tight end Ben Beese. I was at his pro day. That was probably it was one of the most outstanding pro days I think I've seen personally. Just completely lighting it up. If you there is a way to look it up, it's just type in Ben Beese pro day on YouTube. You'll find it. Maybe potentially like a fullback hybrid special teams guy for Tampa Bay if he does make the squad. But I think, again, good teams stay good by drafting one for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think the first thing that jumped out were the selections of Rashad White and Kate Otten. I think those two in general were okay. They need a passing down back longer term. You know, you can say what you want about playoff Lenny or Lombardi Lenny, however, whatever you want to call him. Sometimes some drops littered in with what has been a good resurgence for him in Tampa Bay. But Rashad White's the smooth operator who's going to pick up a lot more for you after the catch than Fournette will. And again, it is that prototypical receiving back. He's going to be able to win all over the place as a receiver. So that's a great add. And then, yeah, I mean, Kate Otten can do a bit of both. Didn't have a lot of production. Why? Well, Washington was bad, first of all. And the usage wasn't there. That's just didn't how it worked for Otten up there. So, but again, I like the Kate Otten pick, one of my favorite landing spots for any of the tight ends, really. So get a player there who can do both. And then you have Kokeeft, who's just going to be basically a sixth lineman. There's nothing else to say about that. Yeah, I'm with you, but it seems like for some reason, all the day three, all the corners that smaller school had all the traits, had all the athleticism, that kind of those maybe projects potentially, but I thought some of them had good technique. They all fell to day three for some reason. And it's possible that the Buccaneers got the best one of the three.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like Boulin. Understandable. I know there's definitely some Joshua Williams fans out there. I think there's a chance Tampa Bay got the best one, especially with what they're going to do, with what Bowles is going to do. McCollum's got a lot of good press man reps, and you're going to see a lot of that. They might put him on an island if he plays this year. If not, good news, you know, get him to develop, keep him learning, maybe get him obviously on special teams. But like, if he gets snaps at some point this year, that'd be huge. But guy's got a ton of upside. We thought that Tampa Bay potentially would need to go this direction because Dean and Bunting both expiring contracts have this year. So love the process there. And yeah, Gudecki, what's to say? Thought maybe he could play tackle. He's not even going to sniff out there at tackle, probably. He can move into guard, and I think a lot of people would probably grade him better there.
Yeah.
And potentially starts over Hainsey to start with, and totally possible. We'll see. That's one of the fun battles to watch. So my only thing is with a class that maybe prevented it from getting to a level where some of these other classes were that we'll get to is Logan Hall. And not because Logan Hall is a bad player. I thought it was a very nice pick. The problem is you wanted a running mate for Vita Vea. Logan Hall is doing that for you on one down.
Yeah.
I really don't think, even though Vea commands two, that I see Logan Hall as a guy who can be an every down interior player. So that's the one where I'm kind of on the fence. Other than that, though, Andre Anthony, fine. I'll be honest, didn't study that guy one bit. So, but get him on day set. It doesn't shock me that they go back to the defensive line for pass rushers. So overall, yeah, I liked it. I'm going to give my grade quick here. I mean, I'm going to give it a B+. I thought they did a good job across the board, really, especially starting I mean, they started on day two, right? But I think Gadecki, White, Otten is a great, great trio, and you get Zy McCollum in that as well. The only thing that held it back was, like I said, they don't have a true defensive tackle on early downs that's replacing Sue. So that's maybe the one thing you look to.
I gave it an A-, so we're kind of in the same boat there as well. So, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I think the NFC South actually did well. Three of the four teams we had with good grades thought they did a good job. The Saints just, again, we went through it. But now to what I think might be potentially, we'll see, a similar situation in the AFC South. We're going to start with the Houston Texans. And Houston Texans, what they did on draft weekend, third overall, they took Derek Stingley Jr., corner from LSU. 15th, they go Kenyon Green, the offensive lineman from Texas A&M. At 37, they took Jalen Petrie, a safety from Baylor. At 44, they went John Metchie, the wide receiver from Alabama. 75, they go Christian Harris, linebacker, Alabama. 107, they took Damian Pierce, running back from Florida. They took Thomas Booker, defensive lineman from Stanford at 150. 170, they take Tegan Quitoriano. Don't know if that's right. Tight end from Oregon State. And then Austin Deculus at 205, the offensive lineman. You could say tackle if you wanted to, from LSU.
Yeah.
So, Mason, initial thoughts on the Houston Texans and how they did?
I think, obviously, at three, it was probably between the two corners. I'm okay with being Stingley. Personally, I would have taken Sauce, but we went through that already in our position rankings before.
Yeah.
I think it could have went either way. The Lovie Smith, Derek Stingley phone call was
cool.
A pretty good one to watch. If you haven't watched it, go ahead and do it. But I think there's not really much to talk about there. You needed a number one corner, and they got it. If he can stay healthy, then sure. If he can get back to his 2019 form, you are perfect. We've talked about the Kenny Green thing.
Yeah.
And
we got to talk about it.
I still don't understand it. I really don't. Like, we talked earlier in the episode about, like, the Chargers seeing that the tackle class wasn't good. The Texans probably thought the same thing, but they took the worst, the lesser guard of the two between Kenyon Green and Zion Johnson. If you take Zion Johnson at 15, that's an A pick. This Kenyon Green pick is because there was a lot of people that thought he wouldn't even go in the first round, let alone the top 15. But, like, day two, they took good players. I do like Jalen Petrie, but my question is, where does he kind of fit in that secondary a little bit? Did they move up for Metchie, right?
I think so, yeah.
I didn't really necessarily think they would have added receiver that early because of Nico Collins and extending Brandon Cooks, but I think they clearly want to help Davis Mills out with get him three really good receivers. Nico Collins is going to take a big step up here too. I think Metchie is going to be a slot guy right away that you can put a lot of faith in. We talked about Christian Harris a little bit before. I think that's a pretty good landing spot. Just like the round wise, he probably will have to play right away, potentially, in Houston. Would I really trust that right now? I'm not 100% sure. But the first two picks on day three, I just really want to kind of dive into. Damian Pierce, he could – dynasty folks out there. Damian Pierce, if he makes it to you at like 109, 110, I got him at 204 in one draft. That's – you're going to get that top guy in that backfield. Because if you look at it, it's just Rex Burkhead, and then they also have Marlon Mack, which, sure, Marlon Mack is a good running back, but Damian Pierce – in the fourth round, he's a dominant pass blocker. He's going to get on the field. And then Thomas Booker, they needed help in the middle of the defensive line for run defense. You got it. Plus, he's one of the smartest players in the draft. If you haven't watched Brett Coleman's interview with him, another good watch right there. But, like, the last two picks, they always kind of take shots at tight ends. I don't know how many tight ends they have that have scored – three or four touchdowns in the last 5 years. But you take a tackle in round six, maybe you wanted one earlier. was Jamari Sawyer still there? I think he actually was. So overall, I think it's a good class for Houston. But the one major disappointment sticking out is Kenyon Green in the first and at pick 15 for me.
Yeah. So this was kind of, I think the process was very jumbled when you look at it. I will say Christian Harris, a lot of people thought he was going to be the pick at 37. For Houston, is just the run and chase, like do everything in space for Lovie Smith and that defense. So that fit is nice. And Damian Pierce is nice and Booker is nice. So the problem is the process with three players I actually like. So the Kenyon Green pick, good player. I think we both liked him, but I think we both, did you have a second round grade?
Yes.
Yeah. Same. So don't know where he would have gone. It's so hard to figure out where he would have gone, honestly, if he had fallen, but there's a chance he's there at 37. So my other thing is, like, Booker's nice player. You traded out of the opportunity to select Jordan Davis, let another team do that, and lost out at Kyle Hamilton in the process to then select a guard. So that part there is like, Petrie's a good player. Like, I like Petrie a lot, but like, where are you playing Desmond King now? Or vice versa? Is Petrie going to move to the roof deep? Like, is that your plan? Like, if it is, okay, he's got 16 snaps there in his career. Not that he can't do it, like Javon Holland, he can do it, right? That happened. But again, taking that's a shot you're taking. You moved up for Metchie, who I like. I don't kind of understand the selection. I guess he's going to be in the slot. I mean, a lot of people like him there, so that's good. Like, I get that. Stingley. If that pick hits, we're golden, right? If that pick misses and Sauce is good, and people will look back to be like, okay, I had hesitations with this guy because of just everything that's happened since 19, which is totally fair. To be like, okay, well then you guys swung, and I get it. Swinging. You're swinging for 2019 Derek Singer, which is great. Love that idea. But man, they took some risks here and they were both in the first. I mean, the grade for me isn't bad because there are just players I like across the board. The process for me was a little bit jaded. Like, I'm just not sure what those Green, Petrie, Metchie picks were. I just don't get like the plan, what the idea is, because you had an opportunity to take Brisker at 37.
Yeah.
Like, you could have taken Brisker, who's got way more snaps deep. Now, if you're moving King back deep, I don't think that process is good either. So, like, this, you have two slot defenders. One you paid and extended. The other you drafted at 37. So, I don't know. It just felt jumbled all over the place. I feel like, I don't know about you, I feel like on draft day, on that second day, after the Kenyon Green pick, which shocked a lot of people, after that, day two and then Damian Pierce, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, this is going really well. Like, they're taking good players. And then when you step back and you dive in, you're like, okay, but like, what's the plan? Like, I understand, again, Green can be a very good guard, and you're protecting Davis Mills. You added weapons. That's fine. Damian Pierce should be good from the get-go. There are just things that they took some risks, and they moved up for some guys. I don't know. I don't even think the last two picks are going to probably – they might not make the roster, honestly. They, like Mason said, they have a lot of tight ends. Like, again, he's the inline. He's the definite foil to Brevin Jordan. So the guy they picked. So again, we'll see. I just didn't love it though.
What did you give it?
I gave it a B- just because I liked the players. Like, there was so much I did like, and there was process I liked, but it was just maddeningly inconsistent. Like, there's just some things where I'm like, I can't get on board.
I gave it a B. So we're kind of all, besides like the Saints was a little bit off, it's kind of a little bit, but I think we're going to agree on this next one though.
Yeah. I just, the Texans just, they, they tried to rope me in. They were playing tug of war with me the entire time they were drafting. So it's fine. Okay. Indianapolis Colts. Let's have some fun here. So they moved back. Yes. From 42. And they selected Alec Pierce, wide receiver from Cincinnati. 73, they took Jelani Woods, tight end from Virginia. 77, Bernard Raimann, the tackle from Central Michigan. 96, they get Nick Cross, the safety from Maryland. Oh, boy. Can't read it, but it was like 150-something. So 154?
159.
159, perfect. They select Eric Johnson, defensive tackle, Missouri State. 192, they took Alec Ogletree, tight end. And then they took 216, Curtis Brooks, defensive tackle, Cincinnati. 239, Rodney Thomas, defensive back from Yale. That was kind of interesting. That was cool. So, and Ogletree, I believe, is Youngstown State, if I'm...
Yes.
Okay. So, Mason, on the surface, what are we thinking about Chris Ballard's latest venture in the draft?
We talked about it a little bit last episode, how, like, Ballard's draft last year, a lot of people were like, okay, kind of questioning it a little bit after, like, knowing that Ballard and Ed Dodds were, like, consistently good drafters. This year, I think the media has kind of got back on the, oh my God, Ballard and Dodds did it again train. Because if Green Bay didn't get Alec Pierce, it was going to be Indianapolis. Yeah. And they got it at Green Bay's original slot.
Yep.
Which kind of put me a little, got me a little tear in the eye a little bit, but that's going to be a dominant, I don't want to say dominant. It's going to be a good 1-2 punch between him and Michael Pittman. I think that was great value since I had him pretty highly in my receiver rankings. Jelani Woods, they already have Mo Alie-Cox. Why not get another that can be more than Mo Alie-Cox? You take a tight end in the third round that has elite athleticism. Your left tackle spot was hurting. So you sit there and you trade down and you get with the Vikings pick that you traded down with, you get Bernard Raimann, who was in first round conversations, which we weren't a fan of, but getting him in the third round, sure, he might start at left tackle for you. And then you trade back up into the third, get Nick Cross. I think he could compete with Kari Willis a little bit, maybe Julian Blackman if he's not healthy for a starting spot on the back end. And then you take two small school guys back to back. Eric Johnson was big on draft Twitter for a bit after his Senior Bowl performance. He could get some rotational snaps because Grover Stewart probably won't be on an every down guy. DeForest Buckner hurt last year, if I'm correct?
I believe so. At least a little bit, yeah.
So you're adding to that, Fulton, you get another guy, Curtis Brooks, later. I read that they really loved Andrew Ogletree just because of the pure athleticism. They said he's a really good blocker as well. So they clearly had what they wanted. They wanted athleticism at tight end yet again. They really have that room. There's a lot of intrigue in that tight end room with these two guys, Mo Alie-Cox and Kylan Granson from last year. They really focused on offense between their first three selections. Again, good teams stay good here.
Yeah, I love this. And honestly, like, legitimately none of the day three picks can hit, and I still love it.
Yeah.
Like, even if you think Pierce maybe isn't the 53rd best player in the class, maybe if you think he's lower, which probably is for most people, like, that's fine. Like, I get it, but you got a true running mate for Michael Pittman Jr. You can say, oh yeah, he's got the same size, does the same things. No, this is speed guy. This is stretch field. Like, Pittman's going to be able to do a lot of work as a chain mover. And that's awesome because he can do that. He can stack too. He can win a catch point. Like, both these guys are going to dominate catch point, which is great for Matt Ryan. And yeah, the athleticism at tight end is nuts. Like, they have legitimately four guys who can get out and catch the football. Like, they have basically two of Mo Alie-Cox in the room, basically. I mean, Jelani Woods offers you plenty more upside, but at the beginning, that's what you're going to kind of get out of him. So you hope he can move in line a little bit too. But yeah, if Ogletree has got that plus, and then Granson, like, they're going to be, I would imagine that they're in 12 a lot.
Yeah.
Not that it couldn't be the year for Campbell or any one of these Doolin or any of these guys, but like, I feel like they're going to be in 12 a lot. That's totally fine. Like with what they have at tight end, great. And so Bernard Raimann, I think we were cooled on because he was getting first round talk at 77. I'm good with the swing there. I like that swing a lot. Yeah. Nick Cross. Yes, absolutely. Like even if, again, the angles and tackling, there's some just inconsistencies all over the board. That's fine. But athletic safety who can make plays, it's hard not to draw a comparison to Savage because he played at the same school. We love to do that. We love the same school comps. But again, injects a little bit more into that defensive back room. I think the only thing here, and like you said, Eric Johnson, Curtis Brooks, two guys you can get after the quarterback from the interior. Two guys, same type of role, but again, add to that room, that's fine. The only thing I think that was lacking is corner.
Yeah.
From this, and that's like fine if you're confident in Isaiah Rogers. Okay, sure. Like this is going to be a young unit after trading Rocky Sin, but like they have Ngakoue, they have Pay, like they're going to be loaded up front again, and the linebackers are good, so I like it. I know that people are going to point to no corner is a bad process. I think that's totally fair. But for me, just how I'm imagining this Colts offense and defense this year, it's put up or shut up. Like this draft is good. You better win the division. There's no excuses. Yep. So, but I loved it.
I just want to say that front seven, you didn't even mention Odiengo.
Who's going to be coming off. Yeah.
He's going to be coming back. You've got – so that's three pass rushers that you can use, and that these Grover Stewart, DeForest Buckner, and then the two guys you drafted, plus those linebackers. The corner room is really all you have to try to figure out, and you've got Gilmore there to help.
Yes, so, that's true. So what do you got for him?
I got an A.
Okay. I went A-. Tried to keep the A's and A-pluses to the truly elites, but I – yeah. How do you not like it? Ballard coming back. With a vengeance in 2022 after 2021, that definitely shocked a lot of people. And not to mention, they did all this without that first round pick they lost from a Carson Wentz trade. So not that I think that mattered to Chris Ballard, probably would have traded back anyway twice. If he had to get in the second round, probably would have traded back twice if he had to get to pick whatever in the 30s. So, but I
can't wait for the, with the next pick series for this one. Cannot wait.
Okay. So we have the Jacksonville Jaguars next, and this should be interesting, I'm sure. So first overall, Jacksonville Jaguars, they go Trayvon Walker, defensive line, edge, whatever you want to call him, from Georgia. They move up to Tampa Bay spot and select Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah. Select Luke Fortner, offensive line from Kentucky with pick 65. Pick 70, Chad Muma, linebacker, Wyoming. Pick 154, Snoop Connor, the running back from Mississippi. 197, they took Gregory Jr., the corner from Wichita Baptist. 222, they took Monteric Brown, corner from Arkansas. Mason, what do you think of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I don't really know how to start this, honestly, because I don't think they knew how to start it either in the draft, because there was a lot of conversation. Ultimately, they did take Trayvon Walker. My question is this whole they didn't take Aiden Hutchinson because of Harbaugh thing true? Personally, I would have just taken Evan Neal, but that's just beyond me, I guess. I personally did not grade the Trayvon Walker pick well because I don't think he was worth that selection. And it doesn't seem like they really know how to use him from what all the reports are saying. Sure, the Devin Lloyd pick, sure you traded up for him. You needed another running mate for the guy you spent a ton of money on in free agency in Foye Aluakun. So sure, you got another linebacker. Luke Fortner, you need a replacement for Brandon Linder. Can he compete for a guard spot? Sure, but you still need a tackle. There were still some good receivers on the board. And then we get to pick 70 and you take another linebacker. Good player, yes, in Chad Muma. But I don't understand the point of another linebacker when it seems like you're going to run a 3-4. Maybe a 4-3. I don't even really know. I think it's 3-4 if I'm correct, which means he's not getting a lot of snaps. There was still a lot of receivers there. You don't have a fourth round pick because you moved up with Tampa Bay. And sure, Gregory Jr., small school guy, sure, go for it. But like day three was really lackluster. You took a running back that not a lot of people even really knew about besides the cool name. I think there was a lot of better running backs available with that pick, and you traded up to get him. I just don't understand it. You're trying to help Trevor Lawrence, and the most you can do is get him a center and not even a weapon when your number one receiver is Christian Kirk, who you're overpaying. You needed a tight end. Your number one tight end is Evan Ingram, who can't really block or has struggles catching the football. I really don't understand this draft, if I'm being completely honest.
So Mason was kind of actually good cop in this thing, I think. man, I can't believe I might lower the grade just listening to this and thinking about it again. Like this process sucked, man. This sucked. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not going to sugarcoat. This sucked. Like, okay, man, I get it. Like, the two linebackers you drafted are good players. I like both of those players. The Devin Lloyd pick is what's carrying this for me. Because you paid Aluakun. Why are you drafting Muma at 70? Why? Like, everybody's going to go, well, yeah, best player available, like all that stuff. Like, okay, I don't, like, I hate it. I hate it. Like, I just hate it. I don't understand. Trayvon Walker is such a strange bet at one. Like, if you're betting on traits, what the heck, man? Thibodeau.
Yep.
Like, come on. And then the one guy you draft along the offensive line, he's played everywhere, sure. Still don't like that. Like I get it. You guys extended Cam Robinson. So you're trying to kind of, like, I don't know, lessen the blow for people that you took one offensive lineman who's going to be an interior player when you have so many questions at tackle? Snoop Connor could be really good. You drafted a running back there without, again, helping your quarterback out in this draft. I don't care that you got Scherff. That's great. You tagged and then signed Robinson. That's not enough for me. I'm sorry. It's not enough. And your receiver room, no matter what you started to cause chaos by signing Kirk to a big deal, don't care. Your receiver room's not good. Okay. Your tight end room is just a bunch of 1-year bets on guys who can hopefully catch the football. I just don't think you got better. If Trayvon Walker plays 3-4 defensive end all year, oh boy. Are you guys going to get it from everybody? You better hope. You better hope Devin Lloyd's an all-pro. Telling you. They better hope Devin Lloyd's an all-pro. He can get there. They better hope it, because I swear, I I hate it, man. I hate it.
I think this is finally the one where yours is going to be pushing the limits, because mine's a deep.
I'll be completely honest with the people here. I gave it a C- when I went through and tried to bell curve this. No, this is a D-. This is a worst grade I'm given. I think this is just awful. Devin Lloyd is going to be good, and it's going to help this grade out, which is why I'm sticking with the C-. But like, Devin Lloyd's carrying you. The rest of this is not great. Like, Moon was a good player. The rest of it's not great. So we're going to move here to Tennessee, finish this sucker up. So Tennessee Titans, they trade away AJ Brown for the 18th pick. They get Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Arkansas at 18. They get Roger McCreary, cornerback from Auburn at 35. They take Nicholas Petit-Frere, tackle from Ohio State at 69. They get Malik Willis, at 86, the quarterback for Liberty, 131, Hassan Haskins, running back Michigan, 143, Chigo Okonkwo, the tight end from Maryland, 163, Kyle Phillips, wide receiver UCLA, 204, they took Theo Jackson, a name that probably not many heard before they drafted him, and then 219, they took Chance Campbell, linebacker Mississippi. Mason, initial thoughts on the Titans?
I really like the process, honestly. They really attacked their needs. Obviously, you want to look at that second, third round pick, but I want to start. You got A.J. Brown 2.0. You don't have to pay A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
So you got lesser A.J. Brown. Well, not lesser, but younger A.J. Brown. You move down from your second first round pick. Roger McCreary is a good player. You need help in the defensive back room. Can those guys stay healthy? I think McCreary will be starting potentially. I wasn't big on Nicholas Petit-Frere, but getting him at 69, sure. Obviously, Malik Willis, when does he start? Probably next year. You want to bet on that? Go for it. I want to talk about Okonkwo and Phillips because Phillips was my guy. Getting those guys in fourth and then Phillips in the fifth, I don't know how Phillips fell. I really don't. Maybe because of a pure slot guy? I don't even think that. I think he can play on the outside some. I really think we talked about it. This is the all yak draft for Tennessee.
Yes.
Once Malik Willis is starting next year, probably you got Treylon Burks. You probably still have Robert Woods. You have Kyle Phillips. You still have Derrick Henry. And you have Okonkwo. Just run triple option the whole entire game because they won't be able to stop it. Nobody will.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty to like here. McCreary at 35 is really nice. The only question is you have Elijah Molden, right? So are you moving him to safety to play McCreary in the slot? What's the plan there? Don't know, but I think McCreary is a good player. Malik Willis, absolutely swing that late, no problem. Love that for them to do that. That's a lot of potential. Obviously, third round quarterbacks, the history isn't great, but. This is a weird year, weird class. Who knows? So they swung upside there. Okonkwo and Phillips are both nice. Phillips has drawn some Hunter Renfro comparisons, and when you can be that kind of slot separator, that's good. Like that, Okonkwo gives you another kind of Jonnu Smith, basically, which is nice. And Chance Campbell, I think, could potentially get some snaps. You've lost a couple guys in that linebacker room. So, like that idea. My question is, though, is moving the 18th, getting 18 and moving on from A.J. Brown to get Treylon Burks. This is the classic. You had a boat and we traded for a box. What could be in the box? Well, maybe it's a boat. We don't know. So, like, you're hoping Burks is A.J. Brown. If he's not, he could be LaVisca Chenault. It might not be that severe, but again, this is big, strong guy. That's fine. And that's something you can absolutely work with. NPF. I don't know, man. I get he's a good run blocker, but I just feel like offensive line is not solved as we're sitting here with this team. And to protect Tannehill, who had struggled in that divisional game, you have weapons. That's good. I just don't like not addressing offensive line, really, other than Petit-Frere. So the Burks is basically they're guinea pigs here, Tennessee. The guinea pigs of we're trading away our stud to hope we have same stud in this 18th selection. We'll see. I don't love that process, honestly, but I liked a lot of these picks. McCreary, Willis. I mean, Haskins gives you that type of back behind Derrick Henry, which is good. So, like, I get it. A lot of this here, I'm not going to be as high in it because of process at certain positions kind of just derailed this a little bit for me. But again, Phillips could be excellent in the slot, gives you a chance to move Woods out to Z, and you've got Burks and kind of your move guy. So maybe we'll say Woods is your X for now.
Yeah. I mean, I gave it a B. So,
yeah. I'm on board. I gave it a B as well. We gave it the same grade. I just think there are kind of things just holding it back. Like, it's not at the level of Tampa Bay or Carolina for me. It's not at the level of Indy. Like, it didn't reach any of those, but like, it's definitely better than Jacksonville. So give yourselves a pat on the back there. It's definitely better than a lot of teams will cover. I mean, there are definite potential with this day three group.
That yes.
Even if Willis doesn't hit, like it was still a swing later. So yeah. Like there's a lot of players who can land, even because again, this wasn't, we took Willis at 18. So you didn't step out there and do that to start things. You waited patient. So I like it. I like the class in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys. Our first run through of full grading the 2022 NFL draft class, starting with the NFC South and AFC South. So I believe we had Atlanta and Indy winning the day. Do you have Atlanta as the top, or did you, they tie with?
I tied them with Carolina. Well, oh, Tampa Bay.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Okay. So we had pretty much tied at the top, I think. But Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and Indy were the biggest winners for us. The biggest losers were the Jags and the Saints.
Yes.
So Saints, normally a team that we've seen have one of the most spectacular drafts of all time. We'll just see what kind of happens outside of Olave. And the Jags just, man, we'll see. We'll see. Could be wrong, but this was not their brightest moment. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Draft Grades. We'll like you said, there are going to be three more. Mason, where can they follow you? Quick, before we get out of here.
All right. They can follow me on Twitter at Thompson22Mason.
You can follow me at Jake NFL Draft. And we will see you guys very, very soon with more grades on this class. We are not done, but we'll see you next time. Farewell.